Welcome to Eastside Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today. We hope that the Lord speaks to you through this message. If you have any ways that we could minister to you or any prayer requests, please contact us at ebckro@gmail.com or 229-377-4154. Now let's tune into the message.
Psalm 91, we're just going to dive right in. We're going to pull three pieces of truth out of it this morning. There's many more to be pulled out, but we're just going to stick with three this morning. And if you'd like to follow along in your bulletin, you can do that if you're a note taker. Follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read aloud. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. First truth piece this morning is this, and it's rather obvious. God is a refuge. See verse 1. The person who was inspired to write the psalm by the Holy Spirit proclaims this truth. He begins, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Right there, we're cued in that the shelter he's talking about, the person he's talking about, the one he is talking about is God, the creator of all. He refers to him as the Most High. There is no one and nothing higher with more authority. In other words, everyone else is created. There is only one who was not created, and that is the Creator, right? God, the Most High. Verse 1, he also refers to God as the Almighty. There is no one more powerful. This is a name of God that was used by Abraham and also by Moses and the people of God while they wandered in the wilderness and in the Exodus. But you know who used it more than anyone else? Job. We find the Almighty in the book of Job in the midst of Job's suffering more than anywhere else in God's Word. That should inform us a bit. That the way that Job felt in the midst of chaotic circumstances, in the midst of his suffering, he referred to God as the Almighty, the one who is more powerful than anything else or anyone else. He goes on in verse 2, he says, I will say to the Lord, that's the name of God, Yahweh, that when Moses in Exodus chapter 3 says to God, who shall I say is sending me? And God looks back at Moses and says, say I am sent you. I am who I am, the Lord. You see that in capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D in your Bible. The Lord. The name of God that is referred to by the people who are His. It is a relational name of God. Not just God, not just Lord or Master, but Lord, Yahweh. They know His name. The psalmist is saying, the Most High, the Almighty, is the one who has revealed Himself to me and to us. And then he goes on, he says, my refuge, my fortress, my God. This is, just in these first two verses, this is huge. That God Almighty, there is none higher, the Creator of all, is also available to sinful humanity to be their personal God. And that God, who is more vast than we could ever imagine, while at the same time more intimate to us than we could ever realize, more available to us than we will ever know and take advantage of while we are here. That God is a refuge. Verse 2, he says, my refuge and my fortress, place of protection. Verse 4, he says, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. This is a picture of gentle caretaking, of a mother bird hovering over her nest with her babies under her. She's protecting them with her wings, her pinions. Gentle kindness, care, is the way that the Lord God Almighty cares for His people. Then he goes on to say in verse 4, His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. Two pictures here of a shoulder. The kind of shield that is large. It would take all of his strength to carry so that he can protect himself. But then also the kind of shield that is small that he carries while he fights. He is a shield and buckler. He protects us from all harm. He is as gentle and loving and kind and caring as a mother bird to her babies, but he is as strong and fierce as a shield and buckler to our enemies. It's a lot of comfort to be had in that truth. God is a refuge. Question comes in, why is there a need for a refuge? I know for you and for me both, this answer to this question of why do we need refuge is rather obvious in the world we live in. But two answers, I think. We live in a broken world that's filled with tragedy. And in this world, we have an enemy, Satan, God's enemy, who does not want us, or anyone for that fact, to worship God. So we need protection, desperately. This is why the psalmist goes on. He says in verse 3, deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from deadly pestilence. Think of those things. The snare of the fowler, the trap, a trap, the unseen danger God will protect us from. Deadly pestilence. Think of the bubonic plague, the kind of danger that you see coming from miles away. People getting sick all around you, and there's nothing you can do. All you can do is wait for it to fall upon you. The kind of danger that you don't see, the snare, the kind of danger you see coming from miles away, deadly pestilence. God can protect you from both. Verse 4, the terror of the night. Verse 4 also, arrows that fly by day. Attacks of the night that come while we sleep, we don't see coming. Arrows by day that we see coming but can't necessarily protect ourselves from. God protects us from both. God is a refuge. Verse 10 says, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. Verse 13, You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot. So all of this danger, any danger that we can think of, spiritual attack, physical attack, the kind that comes out of nowhere and the kind that we can see from miles away coming towards us, God has the ability to withstand any attack and protect His people. God is a refuge. What do you think before we move on? God Almighty, the Creator of all, He chooses to be a refuge, a shelter for His people. He chooses to be that. And the way He chooses to be that is He provides the most fierce protection, shield and buckler, while at the same time caring for His people gently and kindly with His presence. If you are here today and you don't know the Lord, that is what is available to you in Jesus. If you are here today and you have placed faith in the Lord, perhaps the season you're in has caused you to take your eyes off the Lord and forget about His loving kindness in the midst of the storm. It is available to you. Gentle as a mother bird, but fierce towards those who are attacking you, specifically Satan. God is a refuge. Which also begs the question, brings us to our second point. Who is He a refuge to? Who does He provide protection for? We see the answer rather obvious in this passage. God's protection belongs to those who trust Him. Verse 1 answers this question. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So the one who chooses to dwell in the shelter of the Most High God, that is who receives the protection in the shadow of God, in the shadow of the Almighty, under His wings. The one who chooses to be with Him in His presence becomes more obvious in verse 2. He says, I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God. That tells us a lot there. The one who worships God as God, their God. In other words, the one at the end of verse 2, in whom I trust, the one who trusts in the Lord is guaranteed protection by the Lord. So, Christian, here's the truth for us. When we place faith in Jesus, we are guaranteed the protection of God Almighty. The one who is outside of Jesus, who is yet to place faith in Jesus, is not guaranteed that protection. They may receive it by His grace, Him getting their attention that He is real and He is in control and sovereign, but they are not guaranteed that protection. Those who trust in the Lord receive His protection. Look at verses 7 through 9. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. So the one who makes the Lord their dwelling place. Look at verse 14 through 16. The voice in this psalm changes. The Holy Spirit inspired the one who wrote this psalm to speak as if he were speaking for God in verses 14 through 16. So that's the voice we're hearing here, God's voice. He says, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Notice the guarantee of God's presence in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. It doesn't get complicated here. It's very simple. The one who trusts in the Lord has the protection of the Lord. The one who trusts in the Lord has the protection of the Lord. Two questions. One is this. How do we trust in the Lord? How do we dwell in Him, as the psalmist says? Those who make the Lord their dwelling place, they have the protection of the Lord. How do we make Him our dwelling place? The answer takes us straight to the cross. As we said many times as we walked through the summer in the Psalms, the psalmist, in many cases, were talking about realities that they did not know fully, that point us directly to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The way we make the Lord our dwelling place is we trust in His Son. The New Testament tells us that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came and put on flesh and lived a perfect life that we have yet and will not live, perfectly fulfilling the law. And then He died a sinner's death on the cross that we deserve because we didn't perfectly fulfill the law. And 3 days later after He died, He rose up out of the grave, confirming everything He said and everything He did so that we can trust Him wholly because He is a living God. We trust the person and work of Jesus. That is how we make God our dwelling place. So if you're sitting here wondering and you're going, I want this for me. I long for this. I know that I cannot protect myself with money or anything else. The answer is this. You believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and you trust Him with your life. You can do that now in your pew. And for the Christian who has already done that, we continue to dwell. We are safe and secure in Jesus from that point forward, but we continue to dwell in His presence in many ways. One of which is getting in His Word, allowing Him to speak truth to us through His Word. Another way is dwelling with Him through prayer. Another way is putting ourselves with His people, in His church. And I don't mean in a building. I mean in the fellowship of His people. Participating in praise and worship and preaching and teaching and prayer with His people. So that when storms come, we have the truth of His Word dwelling in our hearts and our minds. And when the storms come, we are prayed up and ready. And when the storms come, we are surrounded by His people. And when the storms come, all of that, we find ourselves in the loving care of God Almighty. That is how we make the Lord our refuge. And some of you today are here. Some of us are here this morning. And we have placed faith in Jesus. He is our refuge and our strength. But for whatever reason, we have pulled apart from Him. And when I say that, I don't mean you've lost your salvation. I just mean that you're relationally distant from your Lord. And you need to pull back in. You need to draw close once again. You need to get back in His Word. You need to find a private place of prayer and make time for that. You place yourself around God's people in the midst of whatever storms you're in. So you can experience the loving kindness of your Savior in the midst of whatever storm you're walking through. And this begs another question, doesn't it? This is how we trust Him, and God's protection is provided for, guaranteed to those who trust in Him. Brings up a valid question that may be running through some of your hearts and minds this morning. If we've trusted in God and He is our refuge, and the psalmist says things like, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. If God's word says things like that, and we are trusting in Him, He is our dwelling place, we are guaranteed protection as a result of trusting in Him, then are we guaranteed protection from all things? It's a valid question, isn't it? How do we answer that? And the short answer to that question is no, we're not guaranteed protection from all things. But we are guaranteed protection, and it's much greater protection than we often long for. This brings us to our final truth piece this morning. God's protection that He guarantees us, His protection is not temporary. And I want you to listen closely. God's protection for us is much greater than temporary protection. And it's much greater than the protection we often want. The kind of protection we often want is the kind of protection that will prolong our life here. And it's the kind of protection that will protect us from suffering here so that we will be more comfortable here as long as He has us here. That's the kind of protection we often long for. And at times, God does give us that kind of protection, but not always. And that's not the kind of protection He guarantees us. But He does guarantee us protection. We saw Him just last week. It was, goodness, it seems longer and shorter than that at the same time. Last weekend, our Haiti team left at 4 a.m. on Saturday. They flew from Tallahassee to Miami. They were supposed to fly out at 11 a.m. from Miami to Haiti. And I was just praising the Lord all week that our team was not stuck in Haiti. Because if they had been stuck in Haiti, it would have been a dangerous situation for them. God orchestrated all of those things so that our team did not wind up in danger in the Haiti airport with no place to go there and unable to get home. That kind of protection isn't always granted to us, but sometimes it is. And when it is, we can praise Him. And this is also illustrated by the fact that there were many mission teams stuck in Haiti. So at the same time, God kept our team from going to Haiti. He had some teams stuck in Haiti. And that's not the kind of protection we're guaranteed. Our God is more than capable. He doesn't guarantee us that. The kind of protection He guarantees us is ultimately eternal. I want you to go to another place in God's Word with me this morning as we wind up our time together. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You can keep your finger in Psalm 91 if you'd like. In Romans, in the book of Romans, while you're going there, I want you to go there. I want you to see this in His Word. In the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit inspired a letter that piece by piece explains the good news of Jesus Christ. Why we needed Him to live His life perfectly and righteously as fully God and fully man, and why we needed Him to die a death on the cross in our place, and why we needed Him ultimately to raise up from the dead for us to achieve victory over sin and death on our behalf. It explains all of that in the first eight chapters. And then chapter 8 starts to transition to look at our life in Christ. Look at our life when we have a relationship with God through His Son. He starts talking about the implications of that life. And in chapter 8, he addresses our question this morning. If we are safe and secure in Jesus, not by anything we've done, but by everything He's done, just simply trusting Him and repenting of our sins, turning to Him, if we are safe and secure in Jesus, then what about our suffering here and now? Put in the words of Psalm 91, if we are safe in the shadow of the Almighty, then what about our suffering here and now? Romans 8, 18 begins to address this. I wish we had time to unfold all of this fully. I want to encourage you to go back and read through this whole chapter. I'm just going to read one verse to start off with. Chapter 8, verse 18 of Romans. He says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, the sufferings that we experience here now, we could put sickness, prolonged sickness. We could put tragedy, the suffering of losing loved ones suddenly, unexpectedly. We could put anything that causes us harm and suffering on there. Enemies, for believers in other parts of the world, persecution. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." He goes on to explain this. And he's talking about the glory that we are guaranteed to behold one day because we have placed faith in Christ. That glory overwhelms any suffering we may experience in this life. To the point that it surpasses it. We go on to see that until then, until the Lord takes us to be with Him or comes back Himself, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is with us and guiding us, even praying on our behalf and in our place when we don't have the words to pray in the midst of our suffering. Later on in chapter 8, he goes on to say that God in His suffering, in His sovereignty, verse 28, he says, "And we know that for those who love God," in other words, those who have trusted in Him or in the shadow of the Almighty, "for those who love God, all things work together for good, even the worst things." And then in verse 31, I want to read this whole section. I want you to follow along as I read. Starting in verse 31 of chapter 8 in verse Romans, he begins to address directly the protection of the Almighty. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says this. He says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things?" He's talking about the future. "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword?" Notice those are all things that we may experience here and now. Verse 36, "As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." Verse 37, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." Now pause. Notice what the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to say here. "In all these things, in all the sufferings, the tribulation, the persecution, the sickness, the death, in all of those things, we, the church, are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus." So somehow, there is something beyond what we are experiencing here and now. Verse 38, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Christian, God's protection does not guarantee us that we won't go through hardship and suffering here and now. What it does guarantee us is that nothing will separate us from Him in the midst of those storms. And what it does guarantee us, according to Revelation, is that there will be a day coming on the other side of this life, where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Death will be no more. Suffering will be no more. We won't have the overshadowing of the unexpected tragedy awaiting us. Because we will be with God, we will be His people, and He will be our God forever. And there we will experience the full protection of the Almighty. Here's what we need to see this morning. At every page, God's Word, God in His Word, is pointing His people to eternity with Him. And in every moment, our enemy wants us to forget about that and look at here and now and say, but God, where are you? When God is saying, I'm with you. I'm bringing you through this. And our enemy wants us to say, but God, what about now? And Jesus is saying, I have secured eternity with me for you. Our enemy wants us to forget that. He wants us to be blinded to that. And God's Word helps the scales fall off our eyes, even in the midst of suffering, to see that the Lord is with us. His presence is all that we need here and now, and His protection and guardianship is guaranteed for His people, those who trust in Him for eternity. For eternity. So Christian, take your eyes off of here and now and look to eternity for encouragement this morning. Because of Jesus, you are guaranteed that if you place faith in Him. If you're here this morning, if you yet to place faith in Jesus, He's the only one that can guarantee this. The only one that can guarantee this. For the Christian, these days are the worst they will get, that life will ever get. For the unbeliever, these days are as good as it will ever be. So Christian, be comforted. Your Lord is with you now and for eternity. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, know that you can place faith in Jesus alone, His life, death, and resurrection, repenting of your sins, and find salvation in Him. I want to read those last three verses to you from Psalm 91. Just listen. These are the words of the Lord to us. Because He, the one who trusts in Him, holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. The one whom we sing to, serve, and pray is the one whom we find comfort, gentleness, and kindness, and caring, love in His shadow. And the one whom our enemy finds fierce wrath. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we thank you for the truth of your word, the eternal truth of your word. How to pray that you would turn your people's eyes this morning, mine included, from the things that we must endure, that we so often get distracted by here and now, to an eternity with you because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Turn our eyes to that this morning. God, I pray that you would work on the hearts of those who may be here that don't know you, God. I pray that you would convict them of their sin and their need for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus and their need for Him and your righteousness. God, I pray that you would make your people here more like you, and I pray that you would lead the unbeliever to trust you this morning. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
My name is Andrew Donaldson, and I am the pastor here at Eastside Baptist in Cairo. And I want to thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. If the Lord is working in your life and you have questions about anything you have heard, or you have questions about what it means to trust and follow Jesus, we want to connect with you, pray with you, and pray for you, and walk with you through God's Word to answer your questions. The best way to do that is by clicking on the contact link at the top of our webpage. There you will find our phone number, 229-377-4154, and our email address, ebccairo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and we hope you have a wonderful day.